Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol. I'm here to let you know that Rusty Quill will be attending UK Games Expo at the Birmingham NEC this May the 29th to May the 31st. We are hosting two free shows, along with our friends at Monte Cook Games and Indie Boards and Cards. If you come along to the Monte Cook Games stand at the Expo, you will be able to demo the Magnus Archives role-playing game and the Magnus Protocol Mysteries game and grab a copy for yourself. You can find out more about our shows at rustyquill.com/expo, that's rustyquill.com/expo. You will need a ticket for entry to the UK Games Expo, but once inside, Rusty Quill shows and demos are 100% free on a first-come, first-served basis.
Rusty Quill presents... The Magnus Protocol. Episode 44. Back to Basic.
Jesus. People cannot even eat or drink without a screen now.
Uh-huh.
This cafe house used to serve the strongest Muckafuck north of the Spree. The children would queue outside for the cocoa. Now it is just all smartphones and bad coffee and French fries.
Only Americans call them French fries.
You see, who can keep up? Did Zeit vergeht wie ein Flug?
Uh-huh.
I am uncomfortable.
You didn't have to come with me.
I am being helpful.
What exactly do you think is going to happen? She must be what, at least 70 by now?
You do not think the old can be dangerous.
You're different. You're... Special.
Thank you, Schön. But you are mistaken. The Stasi and I, we were similar in many ways. We both relied on fear and knew how to wield it.
It's not the same.
Das ist wahr. I usually spared the children.
Is that them?
Yes.
You sure?
I am sure.
Clara Vogel. Shh. Mrs. Vogel? My name is Alice Dyer. I'm with the OIAR and...
Wie hast du mich gefunden?
She wishes to know how you found her.
Well, your name was listed in some records I found with the help of my, experienced colleague here.
Wir konnten deine Sünden riechen. Guten Tag.
Ich kenne deine Stimme.
What's she saying?
Und ich kenne dich, Clara.
Sorry.
Wer seid ihr?
Hast du Heinrich vergessen, Clara?
Excuse me. Look, I'm sorry. Entschuldigung. I don't want to be all tourist about it, but Heinrich said you spoke English, and my translation app isn't keeping up. Can we, you know...
Who are you to travel with him?
What? Oh, okay. She was one of yours then, I take it.
I told you I am helping.
What do you want, English?
Okay, well, I'm looking for someone. Someone I think you may have kept an eye on back when you were, when you were younger. Anyway, he was a computer guy, big into alchemy tattoos.
Schweitzer.
So you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I watched him work.
See, do you know where I can find him, or...
No.
Oh.
Spiel schön, Clara.
I do not know where he is. If I did, I would go and kill him myself.
Why? What did he do to you?
Nothing you would understand.
Right, shall we just get down to it then, yeah? You don't like me. I get it. Honestly, the feeling is mutual. But you know something about Klaus Schweitzer, and I need to hear it. I was going to offer you money, but I'm not really feeling that now, so let's try this instead. You tell me what I want to know, or I tell everyone you're ex-Stasi, and then we see how people react.
Ha, and then what? They beat an old woman to death? These fat, lazy children have no stomach for such work. Your threats do not frighten me, English.
Aber das tue ich nicht wahr, Clara. Es gibt ein Mädchen, klein und fein, die zornige Clara. Sie hasst die Kinder, spottet gemein. Sie spielt nie mit dem Schwarm da. Sie klagt die Jungs, die böse schreien, und Mädchen, die sie necken. Sie liest sie buchen, salt es heim, bis alle sich verstecken. O arme Clara, alt und starr, kein Kind will mit ihr spielen. Und wenn kein Lachen klingt mehr klar, will Heinrich sie einstehlen. Schau mich an, Clara, schau mich an.
Heinrich, es tut mir leid, werde ich spielen? Ja, ich werde spielen.
Auf Englisch, Clara, wir haben einen Gast.
I will talk.
Christ, Heinrich, what did you tell her?
Just remembering old times.
Uh-huh. So, Clara, tell me everything you know about Klaus Schweitzer.
The first time I saw Klaus Schweitzer, I was watching Schwarzmoon?
A squad.
Yeah, in Prenzlauer Berg. They thought they were punks, radicals. Would-be anarchists. He was easy to see. His skin was covered in tattoos, strange diagrams on his arms, his chest, even his face. They reminded me of my grandmother. She also held folk beliefs. He visited a squad a few times, and I would have taken him if he was not already on the list. We needed computer people. I was chosen to make the offer because I was young and beautiful. And he was ugly. It was the right decision. It was very easy. After we raided the squad, I made him the offer. He could work computers for me or join his punk friends. He agreed, of course. But I do not know if it was because he wanted me or because he feared me. Perhaps both, I think. I knew from his files he was a computer coder from HFE. Good at statistics, at predicting people. This was useful to us. My superiors tired of arresting the guilty. Better to stop them before they could commit the crimes. The program was to track the fears of the targets and so predict disorder and disloyalty. Find the traitors before they knew themselves. It was a grand dream. Schweitzer did not want to work for us, but the idea, he longed for it, I think. More even than he longed for me. So I gave him computers, files, data. Always he was asking for data. When he tired, I would encourage him. I was not very good at this. But when he was slow or stupid, I would scold him. This I was very good at. Soon he could not eat, could not drink, could not breathe without checking if it pleased me. And if it did not... I did my duty and ensured he did his. He was an ugly, foolish man, but his work was strange, almost wonderful, but never correct. No matter how I loved him, how I hurt him, he could not make it work. Again and again he failed, and so my superiors began to question me. So I pushed him harder, too hard. By the end, he did not know where the love ended and the fear began. but all that mattered is that we both knew he was mine. He could not live without me, and I wanted code, so he would code or die. I left him to work alone that final time. He was already mine and would not disobey. I left him with food for 1 week and returned after 2. By then he stank like a caged dog and he could not speak. But the work, das hat für mich gesungen. I did not understand the code. It was Kauderwelsch. But the symbols, he had carved them into the walls with his nails, into the keyboard, into his own skin, copied from the photographs of all tattoos he would shuffle in his hands. In the glow of the filthy screen, it was hard to tell where his wasted body ended and the work began, but there was paper falling from the printer, completely clear except for a list of names, dates and times. I knew the first name well, Karin Müller. She was a known thief and speculant at the lokale Handelsorganisation, and she was already due arrest the next day at the date on the list. I attended the arrest, but it was not an arrest. There had been an accident. Frau Müller had been killed by Fleischwolf. Her arm was caught in the mechanism, and she was somehow pulled in. The second name was an old study mate from the Hochschule. I had not spoken to Matthias since graduating, but I knew where he was working. I found him just as he placed the electric cable into his mouth. I read his watching notes before I called the Fopo. It seemed he had been following special orders from a supervisor who had never existed. Every name I investigated from that list was the same, broken and strange. It was not what we asked for. But Schweitzer had made something wonderful and terrible. I did not understand it. But I knew we needed it. I informed my supervisors and then returned to him, ready to take his work from him and hand him over. But when I stepped inside, I found he was already gone. He had left and taken the computer, the program, the data, everything, except his filths, his carvings, and a small envelope. This envelope. I have not opened it. I already know what is inside. A name, a date, and a time. My time. Every day I hold this letter and dare not open it, because what if that date is today and that time is now? I cannot know, but I cannot not know. All these years, and I cannot eat, cannot drink, cannot breathe without thinking of him and this letter. I do not know if it was meant as a gift or as torture. Perhaps both. All I do know is that however much he wanted me, he loved the program.
And that's everything. You never saw him again.
Clara.
No, never. I do not know how he left the country, but if he had not, I would have found him.
And this place where you locked him in, where he finished the program, what was the address?
There's nothing there now.
All right, fine. We're done. You can go.
Wenn ich diesen Umschlag öffnen würde, wäre es heute?
Finden wir es heraus, meine kleine Clara.
She left her envelope.
Do not worry. I shall return it to her later.
Thank you. Do you have any sugar?
No.
I like your house. It's very, it's not what I expected.
What exactly were you expecting?
I don't know. Something less... nice.
I see. Gwen, when I agreed to speak with you, I was under the impression that you needed to discuss something more substantial than my personal living arrangements. If that is not the case, then...
No! I mean, yes, I do. I was just making small talk.
Well, don't. You're not very good at it.
Oh, and you're just so... I am glad you're doing well.
Are you?
Yes. Look, I know we had our... differences, but I am genuinely glad you're okay.
Because you need something from me.
No! Well, sort of. But also because, well, you left so suddenly and there was no record of you anywhere.
Something I had orchestrated at considerable effort and no small expense.
I was starting to worry that you had been... disappeared.
I see. Surely the minister could have disabused you of that particular notion easily enough himself?
Oh. Well, we don't... We haven't really been in contact since,
I'm sure he's very pleased with that outcome. Well then, as you can see, I am perfectly content in my obscurity and would prefer to stay that way. So what is it that you need that is so urgent that it justifies invading my home like this?
I'm sorry if I overstepped, but...
What do you want, Gwen?
I don't know what to do. Nobody does. We just turn up, sort cases, and then horrible things happen. There's no onboarding, no documentation, and it's not like the minister has any idea what actually goes on at the OIAR. And before you jump in with, I told you so, I'm still not convinced you know any more than the rest of us.
Then why come here for answers you don't trust?
Because for all our differences, I know that neither of us can stand to see a job done badly. So if anyone knows, it's you. Oh, I don't know why I even bothered.
Dread is organised into four key elements. Death, pain, helplessness, and wrongness. It is essential that these four elements remain balanced. That is the purpose of the OIAR.
Okay.
Too little of any one of them and we need to generate more. Too much of any of them and we need to increase the others to compensate. The FR3-D1 system monitors these levels and anticipates what interventions are required in order to maintain balance. Failure to maintain balance will lead to horrible things happening, which I am guessing is what has brought you to me.
But wait, that would mean... That would mean the system can only trend upwards, generate more dread over time.
Correct.
So, why not reduce them? Or just get rid of them entirely?
Because it can't be done. At least not to my knowledge, and there's no one else to ask. I believe the response team used to try, but in my experience, utilising appropriately sympathetic externals has proved the most reliable solution.
That doesn't sound... good.
Perhaps not, but it is the job.
Says who?
I don't know. Perhaps nobody. I never controlled the OIAR, Gwen. I just worked there long enough to understand what the system needs. The only thing I have ever known with any certainty is that when the levels are unbalanced, terrible things happen. Leave it unbalanced long enough, and the things you're worried about will become exponentially worse. I can only hope you've come seeking help before anyone is too badly hurt. Ah, that's a shame. Please, don't give me details. I'd rather not know.
So what's the protocol? Is that just the official name for keeping things balanced?
Now, where did you hear that, I wonder? In a sense, The protocol is the last resort for keeping all this secret.
What's wrong with transparency?
I wouldn't try it. Even if people believed you, which they wouldn't, it would make it impossible to properly operate. Too many motives, too many variables, too many people looking to take advantage. So if it looks like someone or something is going to sink the whole ship, you enact the protocol.
Which is?
Isolate, gather, control, excise, and subvert.
Can I please just get one straight answer?
Quarantine the problem, collect the information, extract whatever's useful, burn the rest, blame someone else.
Right.
Just do whatever it takes to keep things balanced. If you can manage that, Gwen, the rest will take care of itself.
Even if people die?
That's the job.
Thank you, Lena. If there's anything I can do to repay you...
Like giving me my job back?
Oh,
That was a joke. You can keep it.
Oh. Huh.
There is one thing, though.
Oh?
Leave me alone, Gwen. Forget I ever existed. Not many of us get out unscathed. I'd like to stay that way.
I'll see what I can do. See you later, Lena.
No, you won't.
Magnus Protocol is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. The series is created by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This episode was written by Alexander J. Newell and edited with additional materials by Jonathan Sims. With vocal edits by Lorianne Davis, soundscaping by Tessa Vroom, and mastering by Catherine Ranella, with music by Sam Jones. It featured Billy Hindle as Alice Dyer, Anuja Battersby as Gwen Bouchard, Lorianne Davis as Celia Ripley, and Sarah Lambie as Lena Kelly. The Magnus Protocol is produced by April Sumner, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell, Danny McDonough, Lynn C., and Samantha F. G. Hamilton, and associate producers Jordan L. Hawke, Taylor Michaels, Nicole Perlman, Cetia Steraven, and Megan Nice. To subscribe, view associated materials, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout desperate to find somewhere to belong, and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.